Give me a beat. Thank you for pushing play. You are listening to the Rarious Fundamental Podcast, episode 46. Have you ever been starstruck? What is up, Internet? Welcome back, or welcome to the Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast. This is episode 46. I'm your sexy party host, Ray Moraldi, also known as Ray Ray. And the Jeff Hardy to my Matt Hardy, Adam Jacoby. What's up?
I don't have my face painted, so I feel like I'd be a pretty poor Jeff Hardy. I apologize in advance.
But you're still the heartthrob of the team, so.
Yeah, and I do jump off of ladders, like, a lot. So, yeah, maybe it's accurate. Maybe it's a good deal.
Yeah. We'd like to see a vine of that at some point. So, if you've never listened to this podcast before, I'm an NBA online writer, so most of the talks here are about the NBA, but we are also here to dabble about current events concerning most sports, probably pop culture. Most of all, we'll also talk about life in general, which makes this podcast fundamental, like the time Adam talked about how to use the word leftovers, like the time Zach Carver read an erotic novel, erotic novel, like the time Lana Berry talked about how mascots are terrifying, like the time Jimmy Maggio talked about sports name pronunciations. We'll talk about anything, basically. That's what I'm trying to get at. So, what are we going to talk about right now, Adam?
Well, it's good that we don't focus exclusively on the NBA, because I just moved to Des Moines, Iowa. Pause for applause from everyone who's like, woo, Des Moines!
Yay, Des Moines.
Yeah, I guess we can't hear the applause from here. But anyway, and so thanks to the building I just moved into, I had to get cable. And I knew that it was going to be a bad deal because cable here in Des Moines is terrible. The carrier Mediacom, they're not any good, and everybody knows it, but I had to get Mediacom. And one of the downsides of Mediacom is I don't get NBA TV anymore. Like, they don't even offer it in, like, a sports package. It's just, I could pay them an unreasonable, like, an irresponsible amount of money per month for NBA TV. And no, that's just not even an option. So, I'm cut off, essentially, from most of the NBA world. You know, I've still got TNT. I've still got ESPN. If a game's on one of those channels, good.
But that's okay, because you still have a bunch of online writers that will provide their analysis for the NBA. And, you know, obviously you stop ESPN and TNT, and you'll never miss a playoffs anyway, unless the game is on NBA TV, which is usually like the Hawks anyway.
That's true. That's true. But I feel like I'm cut off from the heartbeat of the sport. You know what I mean?
That's true. Yeah. So I guess you're going to have to...
I'm outside the stuff now. I don't have the inside stuff. I'm outside the stuff. Shout out to Kristen Ledlow.
We'll have her on the show soon. And speaking of guests, we cannot get Brandon Stroud. We were going to talk about Final Fantasy, but Brandon Stroud is really busy right now, and he is preoccupied with South by Southwest. So, we will have him soon. I don't know, maybe next week, maybe 2 weeks from now. I have no idea. But we will have him soon. We promise. And Brandon has promised to make it up to us down the line.
That's
so
right. And I have a lot of Final Fantasy questions to ask Ken and you and everybody. So, but we don't have to get into those right now. We need the full panel for those.
Yes,
Rest assured, I have a lot of things to say and a lot of things to ask about that topic.
Yes, sir. And by the way, I have a little quibble. That's a great word. So I just saw our good friend Zach Lowe. He talked about like how he had Sue Bird on his podcast, which apparently isn't out yet. But he did provide a little tidbit that Sue Bird, WNBA player, prefers the laser to the spread gun in Contra. Who does that?
This is the first time I've had a problem with Sue Bird, but it's a pretty fundamental problem, because the spread gun is easily, easily yeah. the most effective. Like, it's one of the top 10 most effective weapons in video games. Yeah.
Undisputed, the spread gun. I don't even know, like, is Slew Bird that great in Contra? She says, oh, the laser's the most powerful weapon in Contra. I don't know.
Maybe she's saying, like, I need it to be a little bit more of a challenge. Maybe she's so good at Contra, she's saying, like, this is like, you know, playing on 6-foot rims. Like, this is yes. a challenge for me. This isn't fun. Maybe that's what Slew Bird is saying, and if that's the case, my respect for her is restored. But if she's mm-hmm. telling me that the laser is objectively a better weapon than the spread gun in Contra, I mean, I don't want to have to throw fists with Slew Bird. not that kind of person, but I yes. feel like I understand how people can get driven into that sense of anger now. I feel like I get it.
One of my missions in life is to beat Contra without the 30-man code, which I have failed miserably so far. Mm-hmm. I've gotten to stage 5 by myself. Although I played with my friend Nick, who is a former co-podcaster of mine back in the No Look Past days, but he's very good in Contra, and we played it 2-player, and we beat the game without the Contra code, except I was dead from stages 5 through 8. So that didn't really count for me,
right.
but he did it, you know? And he says, no, kind of, you beat it too. Like, no, I didn't play for like 3 stages.
Right.
Yeah. But he apparently is that good at Contra, and that is my mission in life at the moment.
Do you have the, do you have the means with which to accomplish this? Do you have an NES at home?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Ah, dude, I hate you.
Dude, I'm most people know I'm also an old school gamer. I'm always like a generation or two behind on games, mm-hmm. so I don't have like a PS4 yet. I have a PS3. But I still play my Super Nintendo. I still play my Sega Genesis and stuff like that.
Well,
so.
I think I just mainly hate you because your consoles still work. That's a big, well, you know, because if
yeah.
They die out. It's what they do.
Yeah, it's like
their
30 years old.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So even though I've taken most of my consoles to Oregon, yeah, they still work fine. Yeah. So
you should be commended for taking care of your consoles. Because that
thank you,
everyone I know, it's like, I mean, like I had a Super Nintendo about a decade ago. Wow, that is a long time ago. but I had to like wedge a piece of cardboard into the front of it so the cartridges wouldn't like jostle out of connection with the with the console and like ruin a game like in the middle of the game.
Yeah.
So, like that was a thing, and I feel like I took pretty good care of that SNES too. I'm not a roughhouser by any stretch, but still, yes. like, and that was not even a Nintendo, that was a Super Nintendo, and that was like mm-hmm. 10 years ago. So like, we're talking about you've kept your NES functioning for twice the lifespan of what that SNES was at that point. So seriously, I commend you.
Well, thank you, but to be fair, my PS1's lid doesn't close. So, and I thought I took good care of that too. So. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if it works if I keep it closed or something like that, but it just doesn't work, and I have like 2 PS2s anyway, so I can just play PS1 games on those.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Yeah, I have 2 because I mistakenly thought the first one stopped working. So I bought another PS2 in Portland for like $20.
Mm-hmm.
And then I checked again, it's like, maybe I'll give it another try, see if it works, and it does, so. But that's okay, I now have the slim PS2 and the regular big PS2, mm-hmm. so I have 2 of those. Yeah, so
super. You got to make them fight to the death now.
Yeah, exactly.
2 PS2s enter, 1 leaves.
So Slew Bird, you're probably never gonna ever talk to us, but we disagree with you on the laser.
Well, at the very least, we need to discuss this further. Mm-hmm. We feel like we're not at peace with the statement she just made. But I want to hear her out. Just want to mm-hmm. hear her out. That's all.
Yeah. Maybe one day, because Zach Lowe has been in my podcast before, so maybe one day we can get Zach Lowe on our podcast and see what he prefers.
Mm-hmm.
Does he prefer the spread gun? Does he prefer the laser? Does he prefer that little, that rotating fire thing?
Yeah, whatever the heck that is. Yeah.
Yeah. It's an F, so I have no idea. But I mean, I prefer the machine gun, too. The machine gun's great in Contra. Yeah.
But
so, yeah, exactly. So, Adam and I were talking about, like, having random celebrity encounters. Yes, we still I guess we'll always get starstruck. That's how we are as humans. We'll get starstruck by somebody, at least.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I've been around tons of NBA players and personalities, and, you know, that's like nothing these days. Even when I shook Jerry West's hand, I felt like nothing nowadays. But we still, you know, we still get starstruck or whatever, think it's a cool thing whenever we're around celebrities. So I do want to hear your random celebrity encounters.
Well, as you know, I'm in Iowa. I am an Iowa native, born and raised here. I've lived all but 15 months of my 34 years in Iowa. So, like, we don't get random celebrities. Like, you don't go out to dinner and you're like, oh my God, it's Steven Tyler. You know, that's not a thing here in Iowa. Like, famous people will come here. It's just that we know about it beforehand. Like, it's a big enough deal that, like, 3 months in advance, they're like, and just so you know, starting May 17th, Donald Sutherland is filming a movie here in Des Moines, you know. So,
right.
That was actually a thing, by the way, that there actually was a Donald Sutherland movie.
Nice.
But, like, it was a big deal. But that being said, there was one point, and this is the randomest, I was in an airport. I want to say it was O'Hare, but it was, I'm drawing a blank as to what the heck it was I was doing. But it was over a decade ago. And so I'm walking through and, all of a sudden, like there's this mass of people in front of me. Like not, they're not like all focused on one person. It's just a bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed almost cinematic because this group of people just sort of like parts in either direction, and then walking toward me is just the most gorgeous woman I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I am 99% sure it was recording artist Christina Milian.
Nice.
Well, and when you think of, like, you know, the most beautiful woman in the world, like, she doesn't ever, like, make the list that I know of. Like, maybe she's been on the Maxim Top 100 a couple times. She belongs there, certainly. But, you know, like nobody's ever like, oh, my God, number one ever, Christina Milian. But I'm telling you, in person, like, if that wasn't her, it was her hotter twin. But, like, she's just, like, tall and picturesque and like, walking like she knows it. Like, yes, you are staring at me. And I'm just like, gah, and she just walks straight past me. But like some people, you know, they just have that incredible magnetic presence. Like, you just know. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm like, holy Lord. Like, now, that was the first point I understood, because, you know, you don't really experience this growing up in Des Moines. But, like, that was the first time that I understood how a supermodel could exist. Like, all of a sudden, that concept made sense. Where, you,
right.
where somebody can just, like, stand there or, like, walk past you, and you're like, oh! That's always the first one that comes to mind for me. Christina Milian walking through an airport and just dropping my jaw.
Wow. I can't exactly top that. Not in the random sense that I can top that, but when it comes to beauties like Christina Milian, but I had the complete opposite here, and I texted you this off record. But so I was just getting gas at the local gas station, just whatever. I parked behind a convertible. It's like, okay, whatever, right? And, you know, like, a very curvy blonde came out of it, and then a big guy came out of the car as well, and then suddenly it became crowded, right? And people were yelling, Shug! Shug! And I was like, whoa, I parked behind Shug Knight.
Does this mean I'm about to die?
So people are just like, you know, just talking to him, whatever, and he's just taking it in, whatever. And I went up to him, and it was like the most awkward, I guess, handshake. I tried a fist pound, but he wanted to shake my hand instead. So I'm just like, okay, whatever, mm-hmm. right? And yeah, I got a picture with him, which I'm not sure if you've seen before, but yeah, I got a picture.
I have not, and that's probably for your safety, because if you ever found out you're sharing a picture of them without his, like, written permission, without express written permission of Major League Suge Knight, yeah, you would die.
Yeah, so I got a picture of Suge Knight, and that is probably, like, the most random, and in a way, shocking, because I haven't listened to rap regularly since, like, the late 90s. So, and people know me as, like, the pop music guy. So, me in a picture of Suge Knight is, like, the most weirdest thing ever. And I shared the picture before on Twitter, and people are like, oh, my God, how are you still alive?
Right. Well,
yeah.
He does sort of have a body count.
Yeah.
So, in terms of just, like, sheer notoriety, I don't think I can top that. I mean, I've been around celebrities like, you know, I was part of the media for a few years.
Yeah.
Mainstream media.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, the most famous person I've ever gotten to talk to, like, over the course of, like in official proceedings would have to be, Alabama head coach Nick Saban.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And, I got to ask him, like, while cameras were rolling and everything, like, why his quarterback was so great after they won a championship. And that was pretty cool. Like, he gave me a really cool and thoughtful answer. And I was sitting down, so I didn't get to judge him for how tall he was. But I did still get a moment pretty much like that, because at the same game when I was on the media elevator on the way down, I was going down at the exact same time as ESPN on-air personality Mike Tirico,
because
he was calling the game that day.
Yes.
I had never really considered the height of Mr. Tirico, mm-hmm. you know, his stature, because why would you? Mm-hmm. But then at that moment I realized, hey, there's this very famous voice, like this very famous person with a famous voice right in front of me, and I am towering over him. Like, I can study his bald head, like, all of it at once. I mean, you can't tell somebody that. Mm-hmm. You don't want to be rude to Mr. Tirico or anything like that. So, like, you know, I was just a friendly colleague and this and that. I think we nodded and said hi, but I'm like, wow,
mm-hmm.
just this, you know, this famous person, like, maybe not everybody knows his name, mm-hmm. but a whole lot of people know his voice and his face, like, but he's just this short dude who just so happens to be good at this one thing. Like, he's not, there was no aura around him. He's just a dude. He's just a guy.
Yeah.
This is Dave McMenamin from ESPN, and you are listening to the Ray Ray is Fundamental podcast.
In 2003, see, I guess, maybe I can't top the Christina Milian thing, but this isn't really, I'm not sure if this counts as random, because this is kind of scheduled, I guess, or maybe, then again, I didn't even know that this was going to happen, but, so, 2003, the Best Damn Sports Show, remember that show in Fox?
Of course!
Yeah!
Hosted by Tom Arnold.
Yes.
Famous Hawkeye fan.
Yeah, so,
And, John Sally, right?
Yes, yeah. Yes. And I did get to meet Tom Arnold afterwards, but this is not what I'm talking about here. Like I said, it was 2003, and I got tickets along with my friend to the Best Damn Sports Show. Someone handed them out at Universal, and I just, you know, got it randomly. So we went, And what I didn't know that was going to be a guest was Jessica Alba.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. She was promoting Honey at the time. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. So you know, they went on with this interview, whatever, and then, you know, she shot a few rounds of golf and stuff like that, right? And right. Then, you know, there's a studio audience shot, right? Like, that, like, they would wave the audience and stuff like that. You remember mm-hmm. that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, they did that with Jessica. So, what they did was that they moved my friend down, and then they had her sit next to me.
My God.
I know. So, instinctively, like, we, you know, she needed help to get to the bleachers, to the seat, so I helped her get to her seat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that.
As a gentleman does.
As a gentleman would, yes.
Yes.
And we had this 2-second conversation. Are you okay there? And she said, yeah, I'm cool, thanks.
Nice!
So,
dude.
So that was my Jessica Alba encounter. And, you know, I never washed my hands again. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not. But, funny thing was that, like, 6 years later, I would end up meeting her husband at a separate event. So, yeah.
And you're like, hey, buddy.
Yeah, hey.
Hand first.
Yeah.
My sloppy second. Oh, no. No, no, no.
Yeah. Cash Warren, because I went to a barbecue involving, Baron Davis's, I Beat You, whatever. I don't know if you remember that thing. Like,
oh yeah, where he would compete against people.
Yeah, yeah. So there was a barbecue in Santa Monica. I got invited by Baron Davis's friend, and I didn't know that you know, people were gonna be there, like Cash Warren or stuff like that. So,
mm-hmm.
And he was really nice to me. So so positive vibes from the Warren family, I guess.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So Jessica Alba, she was tiny.
Really? I guess,
yeah.
I mean, that's another instance where I guess you can't really get a sense of how tall they are, but I always figured that, you know, she seemed like lanky-ish, like, you know, not like, basketball lanky, but, you know,
right.
I would have pegged her at like 5'7", you know, like something around that, like a little bit taller than average would have been,
yeah.
I guess, you know? Well,
like, I'm taller than she is, and I'm 5'7", so I think
okay.
She's 5'5", maybe. But she was small, like, you know.
Like, you'd so. Pick her up and toss her?
Yeah,
pretty much. You shouldn't do that.
I shouldn't do that, yeah, but yeah, I can if...
But it's physically possible.
Yeah, very, very much so, yeah, so, yeah. But that, I guess that counts, yeah?
Yeah, that totally counts.
Yeah.
There is sort of a bit of a drawback to living in Iowa, because... You know, like I said, usually we know when famous people are coming,
mm-hmm.
and not only that, but, you know, exactly where they're going to be and when, so mm-hmm. we can all gawk at Donald Sutherland.
Right.
The one exception is every 4 years, like, politics happens, and we've got the caucus here.
Mm-hmm.
And just for the record, everybody who's not from Iowa and who begrudges Iowa's process in the political, or Iowa's place in the political process, let's get something, like, clear right now. Iowa is not the most important state in the political process. Far from it. Nor do we pretend to be. Nor do we think that that is why we have the caucus. But you should be thanking us for it all the same. Because our place in the caucus process and the primary process means that we have to deal with political ads targeted to our state in particular for about 2.5 months.
Mm.
And they are the butt worst. They're awful. I would rather have a Lexus December to Remember commercials starting in like before Halloween. Give me that instead. Give me Zales, like, oh my God, she wants a ring. Give me that for 12 months a year. Give me anything but political commercials. But no, our state has to stomach those just in full force. And I mean, like, 70% of the commercials, and even more of a percent of commercials, especially during sporting events, are all political stuff. And it's only gotten worse since the Citizens United means, like, unlimited money can go to these certain super PACs. And so then they just can say whatever they want.
Right.
And, like, it's not endorsed by any... It's just awful. And so people will be like, oh, no, we've got a primary coming up here. We've had to deal with political ads for a week. And I see that on Twitter. I'm like, you have no idea. So please, please understand that we are doing the rest of the country a gigantic favor by occupying this role. And a little bit of gratitude would be nice every now and then. Don't say that, these people aren't representative of America. Of course we're not. But we are the toilet for all of this awful political things that have to go on while we're just trying to watch a stupid basketball game. So you're welcome for that. But anyway, it doesn't stop there, because at the same time, when all you want to do is go get a coffee here mm-hmm. in Des Moines, or if you just so happen to go to the wrong diner in name the small town, Iowa, what do you know? Like, all of a sudden, a couple people in nice suits show up like and start, like, casing the place, and you're like, oh, no, because you know what's coming. Mm-hmm. Some stupid presidential candidate's going to walk through and start shaking everybody's hands, like as if it matters to the political process at all. As if somebody's going to tell them a story in some small town diner in Eldora, Iowa, that's going to be like, oh, well, this makes me change my opinion. The politician's never going to say that, and the politician's never going to say something in 5 seconds that's going to make, you know, poor Gladys, who just wants to eat her peach cobbler, she's not going to say, oh, well, I have changed my mind. No, that doesn't happen. And yet we still get these little tornadoes of media attention that come through these small towns for no good reason, when all I want to do is have an ice cream shake, and then all of a sudden, stupid Ted Cruz wanders through. Or, and just so we're clear, I'm not picking sides here, or Dick Gephardt shows up. And everyone's like, oh, it's Dick Gephardt. I'm sure this is going to be worth my time. All right, I guess I'm not getting served for 45 minutes now. Thanks, Dick Gephardt. And every 4 years, it's that, and you're just playing, like, the diner or the coffee shop version of Russian roulette. Like, well, I hope nothing goes horribly wrong. Oh, no. Oh, this was my chamber. Oh, no. Here's Sarah Palin. Oh. And those are the celebrity encounters we get too. Now usually we're nice enough that we'll say, oh, hi, name I've heard of. Oh, well, thank you for coming to my small town. I hope you enjoyed Cedar Falls. It's lovely this time of year, isn't it? Well, yeah, I mean, it is, because Iowa's lovely. But, you know, it's like, well, hey, okay, yes, why don't you have a pork tenderloin? Why, it's our state sandwich, don't you know? But, you know, when we will be polite, and all the time in our heads we're thinking, leave! This is not what diners are for. People don't, if they're not politicians and there's no TV cameras around, nobody wanders around a diner in Iowa or any other state in the stupid union and just goes shaking strangers' hands. It's not a thing. It doesn't happen. It's unnatural and it needs to stop.
Wow.
So that's what's going on in the state of Iowa with celebrities.
I'm so glad you feel that way about random celebrities in Iowa, which they really shouldn't be celebrities, right?
They shouldn't be. They shouldn't
be.
Like, if Arnold Schwarzenegger wants to, the actor, not the politician, if he wants to wander around my coffee shop and shake my hand, hey man, how you doing? I'd be okay with it, but that's not a thing that actors do. It's not a thing that normal celebrities do because,
right.
You know, there's only so much attention that they bring on themselves, regular people like you and I, and they don't need to make sure that everybody in the place knows that they're there. That's not a thing.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be a thing.
Yeah, since California is so huge, I don't really run into politicians here, so I'm good. Yeah. Yeah, so, wow, I just lost my train of thought after that little rant he had.
I didn't know it was coming. Didn't.
Neither did I. But, yeah, so, wow, how do I top that? Here's what's funny. So, you know who Tony Hawk is.
Of course I know who Tony Hawk is, sure.
Yeah, yeah, so my cousin worked in Activision, the games. Like, he worked
on
Tony Hawk Underground 2 or whatever, right? He worked on those.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, so he brought me to his company party in Woodland Hills, I believe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was just like almost like a carnival sort of thing or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, playing games, whatever. My cousin got to, put, Tony Hawk in the dunk tank and stuff, so that was cool. So I took a picture with him, and he was wet, but that's fine, right? Mm-hmm. And for some reason, my cousin's like, "Wait, that's Tony Hawk?" And I'm like, "Dude,
what did you think?
He works for that company. What's wrong with you?" Like, he's all starstruck and everything. It's like, dude, doesn't he come into your building every day to work on the game? That became his business, you know? Like, how could he not know that's Tony Hawk?
Sure. So, like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah, really. But yeah, that was cool, meeting Tony Hawk. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, that was cool.
There was a time when I was in a karaoke bar in Atlanta, Georgia. Pause for applause. Uh-huh. From Atlanta, Georgia. And this is another Kristen Ledlow story, as a matter of fact. it was me and Ledlow and Zach Harper and Robbie Calland. And so we're doing a little okey, as Robbie calls it, and so we're all standing around between songs. Between performances, talking and chatting, and then some guy starts chatting up Kristen. Mm-hmm. And the conversation quickly turns to, "I know you from somewhere. I've seen you on TV," mm-hmm. which is entirely possible. Like, many people have seen Kristen on TV. And this was yes. before, she was a sideline reporter. Shout out to Kristen, sideline reporting. It's excellent. Mm-hmm. But you know, she was already hosting Inside Stuff at that point.
Yeah.
And so he's not getting to that point. Like, he has not connected those dots.
Yeah.
And so we're all just sort of starting to like, okay, so let's see where he's going on this.
Mm-hmm.
And so eventually he's like, "Oh, no, I'm sure I've seen you on TV." And she's like, "Oh, really? So where?" And mm-hmm. he says, "You're a contestant on The Bachelor." And I can't remember, like, I'm racking my brain, and I can't remember if Kristen said, no, that's, I'm not on that, or if she did the really smart thing and said, "Yep, that's me." I really hope that's the answer, but I can't, I don't remember, and I'm a little bummed out.
Oh, man. Because we both worked in media, mm-hmm. like, at this point, it's like, it just becomes like, you know, we're friends with these people. Like, we were friends with Kristen.
Mm-hmm.
Even Zach Harper, who's become a celebrity on his own, really,
mm-hmm.
for working for CBS, has become a celebrity, and we're friends with him. So, like, it's weird when people, like, talk to us, like, "Oh my god, you know that person?" It's like, well,
you know, yeah. And he's just a guy, you know.
He's just a guy, Kristen's just a woman, and... You know, excellent woman, by the way. you know, Brent Barry is a friend of mine now,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I used to love watching him play for the Clippers back in the day.
Of course. You know? Of course.
Yeah, so.
NBA slam dunk champion Brent Barry, let's be clear.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, that's why, in a way, I'm kind of like, well, this shouldn't count because I work sort of mm-hmm. for the NBA and everything, you know, because I've met a lot of NBA people. I mentioned Jerry West. I've met Mike D'Antoni, you know. I've met Blake Griffin. I've met Magic Johnson. Like,
sure, sure. Like, this is normal
stuff,
yeah.
you know. So, you know, but outside of that, although before I did the NBA, here, this is funny. So this is 2001, probably a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, Harry Potter just came out,
sure.
And yeah. So my then girlfriend and I went to watch the first Harry Potter movie. After it was all done, you know, we got outside and we saw Kobe Bryant coming out of the other theater. He had just watched Harry Potter as well, along with Vanessa,
his now
wife, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, everyone's just like, "Ooh, look, it's Kobe, whatever," right? And they're just like, you know, they didn't even stop him. They just like watched him walk by,
right?
You know?
Right.
So, because you know he was on a date or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And I just kind of laughed. And I said, "Hey, look, Jeannie, look, it's Kobe, right?" And everyone knows Kobe by a first name basis, right?
Of course, yeah.
In L.A. And then Jeannie, my girlfriend at the time, answers back with, "Who, a friend of yours?"
you're like, yeah.
Yeah, sure. We've known each other since we were six. She had no idea at that point. I'm like, no.
I kind of... resent isn't the right word. Admire's not the right word. But something in the middle. Like, I almost sort of envy that. Like, I sort of wish I never knew who Kobe Bryant was. Like, that my bubble could be that strong. Because it feels like life would be a whole lot simpler. Like, not, like, because of Kobe in particular, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Insulated, like, and I'm not saying that I wish I didn't know anything about the NBA, like, but if somebody was like, hey, look, it's Jeremy Roenick, or it's Jaromir Jagr, or you can tell that I haven't really watched any NHL since 1995, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, something
yeah.
like that, and I'd just be like, huh? Who? What? Okay. Is that your friend?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like life would be, you know, a little bit simpler and better at that point.
Yeah, have a little bubble around you. Mm-hmm. And
this is Zach Harper of CBSSports.com. You're listening to Ray Ray's Fundamental Podcast, because Ray Ray is fundamental. You know, like those NBA commercials with the reading is fundamental. You get what I mean. When you were on that line, I called you from Jamaica. You were listening to I'll Take Her, and I know I may smile. But I ain't on the shiny tip, and I know you like that flossy sh. I just want to hold you for a while, girl. I know you dream about me. I know you dream about me. I don't know what you're waiting to see. What you're waiting to see. So I want you in my life. Let me show you why.
Lots of sword slicing, gently through my body, burn so sweet. Blood boils when you speak, yeah. Makes me weak, but I refuse to weep. Yet when I sleep, I feel tears trickling down my cheek.
Come on,
stay strong, pride telling me move on. My heart's fighting me, forcing me to hold on. Yours forever, tell for you beyond measure, pure as ever. I'm praised by sins of treasure. Yeah.
But the funny thing is that we ran into Kobe that same plaza like three more times, but you know, I didn't bother stopping him because yeah, obviously he was on a date and like I didn't want to like disturb him or anything like
right,
that.
Right. Like
yeah.
That never ends well. I eventually figured that out when I was at Iowa as a freshman, because you know, I had grown up an Iowa fan, you know, of the sports Hawkeyes.
Mm-hmm.
And since it was, you know, a college campus, the same college campus that these sports Hawkeyes attended, you'd see them every now and then. And I would be like, oh, are you, like, I'd go up to the seven, like, the only seven-footer on the entire campus. Are you Jerry Reiner? Like, what's he going to say? No. No, I'm other 7'1", 290-pounder. Yeah, Jared Reiner, by the way, also a former, he was a future Chicago Bull at that point, now a former mm-hmm. Chicago Bull. Nicest dude, super nice dude. Mm-hmm. I even saw him again, a couple weeks later at a Burger King after mm-hmm. the night establishments had let out for the evening. So, you know, it's like 2 a.m. And so like he sees me there and he like waves at me and says hi, and I'm like, oh my God, a famous man just waved at me.
Nice.
Well, like, he was just this small-town kid from South Dakota at that point. Like, he was 18 years old, but I'm like, oh, my God. Yeah. So that would have counted as, like, my most famous. Like, I'm just a starstruck doofus at that point.
Yeah, we all were at one point. And, shoot, I'm trying. Oh, yeah. E3 2000, because I used to go to the Electronic Entertainment Expo in the LA Convention Center, and
I thought it was in Vegas.
That's the consumer electronics show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Yeah, E3 is held like nearly every, I think every June, and I was working at a video game store at that point, so I was able to get in for 3 years running. But in 2000, the most random thing was just like Coolio was just walking by himself. just like walking around, and it was like, oh, hey, Coolio! He's all, hey, what's up? You know, he's about as tall as I am. You know, and we took a picture together. He's all, all right, man, I'll see you later. Like, okay, cool.
Cool, yo.
Coolio, yeah. He was wearing an Edgar and James Colts jersey at the time. So.
Good call. Excellent choice. Because people normally would have been like, yay, go Ricky Williams. well, no, because I remember everyone being like, why did Edger and James get drafted before, you know, Mr. Heisman, Mr. Record-Breaking Ricky Williams? The Colts have just made a giant mistake, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, no.
Yeah. Edger and James led the league in rushing in his rookie year, I believe, right? So, yeah. So, we also, the next year, also in E3, I ran into Lita, WWE Diva.
Sure.
Yeah, so that was cool. And Rob Van Dam had his comic book shop like a couple of miles away from me. So he was there sometimes.
Well,
yeah, five star comics, yeah.
I was at first when you said Rob blah, 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 and then you were like in a comic book shop, for some reason my brain went right to Rob Liefeld.
Oh,
which would have been just the worst comic book shop. I'm glad it was Rob Van Dam instead.
Yeah. Yeah, so I've had my fair share of celebrity encounters, and you have too, in Iowa. Yeah.
Just recently, I went to a comedy show, because there's a pretty nice, like small, about 150 person venue called the Mill that's been around for decades. They've got a nice little stage for comedy, and so one of the people that I saw, thanks to my friend Aaron, who let me know that he was in town, was Todd Barry. Are you familiar with Todd Barry?
I've heard of him. Yes.
Yeah. So he's from New York, and he's very from New York, like, and he's just this like tiny little dude with a sarcastic sense of humor, like, you know, like I said, very New York. And it was a funny show, and it was fine, and I laughed too hard at one of his jokes, and he noticed it, and it was like, hey, this guy liked that one a lot, and I'm like, and so afterwards, you know, it's also like a restaurant and a bar and this and that, so everybody's sort of milling about.
Right.
And so then I go to use the restroom at one point before it's time to leave, and wouldn't you know it, I step to one of the urinals, and in the other urinal right next to me, it's Todd Barry himself. Once again, very short individual, and I hate to keep pointing that out to you, my co-host, who is 6 inches shorter than I am.
I hate you so much.
But part of me wanted to lean over and be like, I see you're packing over there. But I didn't want my random celebrity story to be Todd Barry punched me in the face while he was urinating. I was fine with my story being I urinated 6 inches away from Todd Barry, who was urinating at the same time too. I'm fine with the story ending there. But just know that about 20% of me wanted me to say anything to him. Just completely violate the social code and do it shamelessly. But I didn't.
He didn't notice you during that time? Like, well, you're the guy to laugh at my joke, or whatever.
I think he his show was over, and he just wanted to relieve himself in peace. And also, like, the way the lights are, you can barely see anybody on the stage. You know, it's just because all the lights are in your face so everybody can see you. But there's no lights on the stage, or the, from the stage out onto the audience. That'd be ridiculous.
Yeah.
So he was just, as far as he knew, I was just a voice, just a disembodied voice. He didn't know any better. If I'm going to violate the social order and talk to Todd Berry while we're both relieving ourselves, I'm gonna say something better than, "Hey, I laughed at that joke and you noticed," because that would be lame. You gotta say something that's really just gonna ruin his day.
Oh man, now 20% of me is wish that you talk to him.
See,
so,
see,
yeah, exactly. I know how that feels now. So yeah, but I guess, you know, the most random would be Shug Knight for me. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, I can't top that. There's no way. There's no
way. I challenge anyone to top that, really, because first of all, I'm surprised I'm still alive. And second, oh my god, that guy is huge. Like, that guy is huge.
Oh yeah. Man. Yeah. I mean, he's didn't he start off as a bodyguard or something like that?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah.
If he didn't, I'd be surprised. We'll put it that way.
Yeah.
I will tell one random occurrence that happened to somebody else, and so let's get this out of the way straight away. This is not a thing that happened to me, but it happened to my friend Dave, who lived sort of near Wrigley Field. And the first thing you need to know is that Dave is the biggest Pearl Jam fan I've ever met, and by orders of magnitude, bigger than anybody else, would be able to name any Pearl Jam trivia question you put in front of him, even the weird ones that, like, they're like, you're not supposed to know that. This is on fandom, sir. But anyway, and so it's after a Cubs game. He's also a huge Cubs fan, and there's a bar right across the street or so from Wrigley Field called Murphy's Bleachers. I've been there, actually. There was when Blogs with Balls came to Chicago, that was one of the places that we went, and so, like, I had been there with Spencer Hall and other, you know, blogging luminaries of that time.
Right.
But those don't count as celebrity encounters because they're not. But anyway, so, like, I'm familiar with that place, and one of the things that they had there was, like, a karaoke stage. Mm-hmm. And I didn't do karaoke at that point. I didn't know just how incredibly gifted I was at it at that point. I'm very gifted.
One of my goals, by the way, is to go karaoke with you.
We're going to do it one day. I promise
one day,
you that.
One day.
But anyway, so Dave's there after a game, and it's a sort of popular place for people to congregate after the game, this and that. And so then all of a sudden somebody comes up to the karaoke stage, and kid you not, and I would not be telling you this in confident, or like, I would not be confidently telling you this if I had not seen the video with mine own two eyes, but Eddie Vedder himself steps onto the stage to do karaoke of Pearl Jam songs. His own songs, he's going to karaoke. And the man had a couple drinks. This was not a concert performance. And really a couple drinks. He wasn't like fall down drunk. I'm not using a euphemism here. But he had a couple drinks. Mm-hmm. And so he's like, "Hey, everybody put your phones away. You know, this isn't for the internet. This is just for y'all. Go Cubs." And he starts doing a couple songs. And, like, Dave managed to have his phone out to record as long as he could. Like, there's even at one point, Eddie, like, looks, like, right at him and therefore right at the phone and says, "Hey, you gotta put that away." And Dave's like, "I'm not gonna put it on the internet. That's okay." Dave had also had a couple drinks at that point. But then eventually, like, it gets clear, like, "No, you have to put this away." And so he does. But that, I feel like if, for him, for Dave, being a Cubs fan and a Pearl Jam super fan, nothing could ever top that. as a random celebrity encounter. It's the best celebrity encounter story I've ever heard. And so
that's fantastic.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention it here in this podcast.
Karaoke to his own songs too. That's fantastic.
Isn't that incredible?
That's great.
I never even thought of singers doing that before.
Yeah, like imagine if like freaking the entire NSYNC group or something like went up on stage and performed their own songs or whatever, or Michael Jackson like back in the day would like come on stage and do Beat It on like a really bad Beat It track or something, you know?
You're right.
Like,
right.
That's just wow. Never thought of that. See, I've never had a bad celebrity encounter because you know I actually know how to talk to people. But have you had one?
A bad celebrity encounter.
Like, I don't think I've had one because, like, I know when not to talk to them for one thing.
Right, right. I sort of had to learn that the hard way when former NFL star Tim Dwight claimed that he was not Tim Dwight when I asked him about it in an Iowa City bar. but other than that, just somebody like not wanting to deal with it, but doing it in as polite a manner as possible.
Yeah.
No, I haven't really had any experience like that, thankfully. And I'm racking my brain. I don't think there's ever been a situation like when I think about a bad celebrity encounter, the only thing that comes to mind is a fictional one. Did you ever see? I think it was called The Fan with Patton Oswalt.
No, I have not.
Okay, so it's basically a story of this super fan loser type who would certainly be an egg Abby on Twitter these days. But, you know, he lives with his parents and he calls into sports radio shows, but like he sees a super popular NFL player at a strip club while he's doing drugs. And he's, and he just wants to be like, hey man, what's up? Because, you know, he's a starstruck super fan. And it eventually leads to him getting his eye socket broken by a punch because the guy thought, because he was gonna narc or whatever. So the drugged out athlete thought, but that's like the only thing that I can think of. Like that's what registers in my mind for a bad celebrity encounter. And I feel like that like never really happens in real life. Like maybe I'm sure it does, but like that's the sort of thing where it ends up on the news or on TMZ or something. Like it's not an everyday occurrence.
Yeah. Because I have so many friends because obviously, Southern California are hotbed for celebrities and stuff like that. But people always tell me, like, bad encounters they've had with celebrities and stuff like that. And I'm just kind of like, I don't believe this. Because it's like, you probably acted rude to them or something like that, you know? Because I haven't had any of that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, maybe because you disturbed them while they were eating or something. You shouldn't do that, you know?
Okay, so I've got a little bit of a story about that. So the same trip to New Orleans for the championship game, and I'm hanging out with Spencer and some other people, and so we go to a po' boy restaurant in New Orleans. They had the second best po' boys in New Orleans, and you know the first best was going to be way too crowded and way too expensive. So you go to the second best, and one of the people that met us there was Scott Van Pelt. You know, he knew Spencer and this and that. Super nice guy, super friendly. And to Scott's credit, he talked to everybody that came up to him and wanted to talk. And the thing of it is, there were so many drunk dudes who came up and wanted to talk to Scott Van Pelt, but had no idea what to say to him. Because, if you had one question to ask Scott Van Pelt right now, would you have one?
No!
Because you have nothing to, like...
Absolutely not.
You don't have anything to talk about with each other right now, just certainly not out of the blue. Like, maybe if you're both doing the same thing, you could lean over to him and say, hey, this shared activity, how about that, right? But
yeah, exactly.
But there's no, like, burning question that you have for Scott Van Pelt. Nobody has that. And yet everybody wanted to, like, most of the people just would come up and say, hey, I just want to shake your hand, you're really good. That's fine. That's a totally fine and pleasant thing to say.
Yeah.
But there would always be these dudes who'd be like, hey, and decide that it's like conversation time, which it was not.
Mm-hmm.
And so at some point, this guy who had been a little bit overserved, like comes back over, which you don't ever recommend, and he starts talking again, and SVP is politely but in pretty clearly giving off the impression that he's like ready to be done with this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's like, and you know what's really messed up? And Scott's like, you? And everybody laughs except for the guy, and like this stupid mindless conversation goes on for about 45 more seconds, and then eventually yeah, I know. Yeah. It was like that. And I'm sure that that the guy probably came away thinking like, oh man, Scott Van Pelt, he's such a prick. You know, like, oh, he made fun of me, this and that. And it's like, no! He dignified you for far too long!
Yeah, exactly.
It was very nice of him to not be like, hey, please go away, I'm just trying to have a po' boy here. Mm-hmm. But that's like what you're saying. If somebody says, I had a bad experience with this celebrity, my first instinct is, I want to hear it from their perspective, because they were the ones making it a bad experience. You know, prominent media people who had been down there, and I'm not like phrasing it like that because I'm trying to protect their identities. I just really don't remember which ones they were, but he and some other media folk were at some other bar, and they were in the VIP section. And up to that point, I'd been like, oh, Mr. VIP, who thinks he's so special? But as soon as I had seen that evening, I get it. Because it was just like every 3 minutes, some other person wanted to come up and say hi. And it's just got to be exhausting. Like, it's just, Scott Van Pelt's just a guy. You know, Zach Harper's just a guy, you're just a guy, I'm just a guy, but you just want to let just a guy be just a guy or just a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not programmed to just dignify strangers coming up to us over and over and over and over with nothing to say. Especially when, like, the performances end when the cameras are off. That's when the job is over.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a 24/7 lifestyle. I mean, for like Kim Kardashian it is, I guess. You know, but like that, she and Kanye and all the other super, 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 super famous people, I mean, they're almost the exceptions that prove the rule. You know what I mean?
As you've probably noticed, this is the first part of a two-parter for the various fundamental podcasts. So you can go ahead and go over there if you like. But before I let part one go, just let me remind you that you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. You can also download the show at rareray.net. And this show is being syndicated by the Happy Hour Network. And you can also download the show on Stitcher. Follow me on Twitter at TheNoLookPass. Follow this podcast Twitter at RayRayIsFun. And follow my co-host Adam Jacoby at Adam_Jacoby, J-A-C-O-B-I. It's not game over, so go ahead and go to part two. Thanks, guys.